We have just heard one story, and are about to hear two more, and I'm going to recount a fourth, in which an angel of the Lord appears to ordinary mortals, literally out of the blue. And each time, he recognizes their natural reaction and says, "Do not be afraid." I know how they feel, sort of. One of the downsides of getting old is something that I had not anticipated, namely, that you start facing and analyzing all of your own shortcomings, which you had cheerfully ignored for the rest of your life. Probably the biggest one that I have noticed, and in this case, not for the first time, is that I'm not very well prepared for real life. And one of the big reasons that I'm well prepared for real life is that the real world scares me. I'm scared of just about everything. I'm scared of speaking in public. I'm scared of heights because the closer I go to the edge of someplace high, it feels as though it's pulling me toward and over that edge. I'm scared of calling people on the telephone because I know that the minute I call them, it's going to be the most inconvenient moment possible for them to have to answer the telephone and will be mad at me from the get-go. I'm scared of trying to make small talk with strangers or with anybody in hospitals. I'm scared of pushy and demanding people, like judgmental neighbors, or used car salesmen, or real estate agents. I'm scared of going out into the real world to look for things like housing, or a job, or a new car. I'm scaredest of all of sticking my hand into my mailbox at night, probably because when I was a child, I saw the movie Roman Holiday, in which Gregory Peck, in order to impress Audrey Hepburn, sticks his hand into the sculpted stone Mouth of Truth in Rome and draws it out with his hand bitten off. Or, more likely, because there might be a snake in there. You may think that these things that I'm afraid of are kind of trivial in the grand scheme of things, that I should just buck up and go about my business like a normal grown-up. You're probably right, except about the snake in the mailbox one. And I'm inclined to agree, even in my worst bouts of being afraid, when I remember what the Gospels tell us in the old familiar story about the birth of Christ. Because the people in those Gospels really, really had a reason to be afraid. Consider Zechariah, alone in the temple in the Holy of Holies, a room that only he was allowed to go into, and that only one time a year, standing there by the altar, concentrating hard on the things he was supposed to do in the proper order and at the proper time and in awe and reverence. But suddenly, a great big man bursts into the middle of the room and talks about the son he's about to have, which nobody else in the world would think possible. I'm sure Zechariah was afraid. And indeed, the Bible tells us so. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." In the feisty spirit of Moses and Abraham, Zechariah recovered his wits just enough to argue with the angel. "How shall I know this?" he said. And as the sign Zechariah asked for, the angel struck him mute, which no doubt got the point across nicely. Consider, too, Mary, sitting there in her room, probably spinning wool or doing something equally domestic, some standard, everyday household task. Then all of a sudden, poof, here is a great big man in her room, popping in out of nowhere, bowing down before her, talking in what undoubtedly was a booming and impressive voice. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you," he said. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what kind of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." No wonder he had to assure her do not be afraid, because she probably was. At least, unlike Zechariah, she responded meekly and with gratitude, even though, like Zechariah, she also asked, "How will this be?" She got a gentler answer because she had a better response to his announcement. Then consider poor Joseph, who had just found out some very bad news and was afraid of what the neighbors would say about him and about Mary. As a result, he had decided that the best way to avoid that problem for both of them was just to let her go quietly. Until, that is, the Lord told him not to be afraid. And notice that Joseph got off relatively easy, because apparently having angels burst into reality may seem almost normal in a dream. This time, the "do not fear" encouraged him to worry less about what the neighbors might say than about what God had commanded. "Joseph, son of David," said the angel in the dream, "do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Consider, finally, the poor shepherds. Minding their own business by watching their flock by night, out in the field under the open sky sparkling with stars. It was no doubt very dark and probably very quiet, except perhaps for the muted crackling of a campfire and the soft pink snuffling of the sheep going to sleep around them. Then suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you great news of great joy that will be for all people." Imagine, if you can, what people for whom the occasional shooting star was the only out-of-place light in the sky would think when all of a sudden a brightly glowing person of unusual size pops out of the ether into reality and starts talking to them in what was no doubt an amplified voice. Understanding their plight, this angel's first word was also, "Do not be afraid," because they probably were. And imagine, if you can, how people who were not used to any noise louder than the ram's horn shofar sounding from the roof of the temple would react to a noise of loudspeaker volume. Imagine further how they might feel when, just as they were getting used to this technologically advanced being speaking to them out of the sky, suddenly, boom, there appears, Busby Berkeley-like, a great chorus of the heavenly host crying out and saying, "Glory to God in the highest," which is probably more noisy than anything they had ever heard in their lives. What impresses me most about these stories is that when those angels said, "Do not be afraid," they apparently had the power to make it happen. Everyone to whom they said that stopped being afraid. And proceeded with any further hesitation to pay close attention to what the angels were saying. Zechariah came out of the Holy of Holies and wrote on his little tablet, "Do as the Lord told me to do. The child's name is John." Mary accepted the Holy Spirit's decree and composed a glorious psalm of praise and honor to the God who had chosen her from among all women to be the mother of the Messiah. Joseph immediately changed his mind, decided to stand by Mary, to marry her after all, and to raise her child as his own. The shepherds looked at each other with glowing eyes and said, "Dude, let's go up to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So, what lesson should we draw from their responses? I propose that we should take the characters in these stories as good examples of how we should confront our own fears in the light of God's command to us. Even if we do not routinely have angels popping into reality in front of us, what we should still do, what I should still do, is what the Lord and his messengers tell us: do not be afraid. When God says, do not be afraid, and he does it over and over in the Bible, remember Joshua? We need to do just that, not be afraid, and release our fears into his hands. We need to remember that he is always beside us, that he is always with us. His armies swarm around us to protect us. And above all, his Spirit lives inside us to guide us and to calm our fears. Pray with me, please. Lord, in this season of promise, please help us to take these examples to heart and to trade in our discomfort for confidence, to turn our hesitation into boldness, and to exchange our scariest fears for good courage. Amen. Please stand and let's sing the herald angels sing.